Welcome to another episode of the Spiritually Persistent Entrepreneur with your host, Sharon Wilson, founder and chief inspiration officer of coaching from Spirit Institute and master spiritual business mentor. The intention of this show is to provide transformational tips, tools, strategies, and resources that support and empower you to soar and shine in your business now. Enjoy.
Well, welcome everyone. I'm so excited you're listening in, and I'm so excited for our guest today. In our talk today, she'll be sharing about how wealth begins within and how to activate that in you. So let me tell you about our amazing guest today. She is a wealth philosopher, money therapist, and the founding CEO of the Living Wealthy Institute, also a sought-after advisor to world leaders and an international speaker, author, and educator, weaving the aspects of our humanity into her garden conversation about the nature of wealth. You'll hear more about that today. She's award-winning five-time career entrepreneur with 20 years under her comfy kids, and she's on a mission to help all of us free ourselves from the chains that hold us back from living wealthy, replacing overwhelmed stress and anxiety in the money equation with a wholesome, regenerative, and nourishing experience while raising, making, managing, growing, and contributing money. And we all want to do that. So I'm so excited to have and so grateful to have with us today, Jennifer Love. Jennifer, so great to have you with us today.
Sharon, it's always lovely to speak with you and connect with you. Thank you.
Thank you. So Jennifer, when we first were talking about you being on the podcast, you know, always have an energy connection with people to really get a feel and a vibe and just align. I mentioned that one of the things that I wanted to ask you, since my podcast is called The Spiritually Persistent Entrepreneur, one thing I ask all my guests is, what does being a spiritually persistent entrepreneur mean to you?
Well, I'm going to start that with a quick story. Mm-hmm. And so this is going back to undergrad for me, dating myself a little bit many years ago. I found myself in Hershey Museum in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Mm. And I was studying psychology then. And I went to this museum on my own, and I'm walking around, I'm looking at the exhibits, and I found myself in front of this kiosk about Milton Hershey and his story. And he had failed 9 times. He went bankrupt, literally 9 times, as a candy maker before he became the success that he was. And that really got into my bones, the story of such persistence, such tenacity. And fast forward, you know, through my journey of entrepreneurship, I remember years ago, I actually ended up starting a chocolate company years later, not necessarily intentionally, although I think the, you know, universe kind of divinely guides us where we need to go. And so I do, I'm still a partner in a wholesale chocolate company today called Nibmore. And as we were in that startup phase of that business, we were like two chicks in a kitchen making chocolate and then ended up turning it into a multi-million dollar business. But it, you know, we were doing something different. We were raw chocolate. Mm-hmm. And raw chocolate means that you're not heating it above 120 degrees. And we were using agave nectar. So there were all these like factors, and especially when you begin to scale manufacturing, and you're using a different kind of a process, it becomes more challenging. And so I adopted this saying of, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of how. And I would say that not only to myself, but also to my business partner, Heather. And I just interviewed her for a podcast interview recently. And she's like, that really stuck with me, Jennifer. Like, that's what got us through, was this like perspective of that. Yeah, it might not go exactly the way that I thought or the way that I planned, but there's always a way. And sometimes the way is right through that wall. Sometimes it's under it. Sometimes it's over it. Sometimes it's around it. Sometimes you got to break it down. Mm-hmm. And so it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of how. And so much of that how, I believe, especially now, I wouldn't have said this then, but now, I come from this place of it's the how is my state of being. Mm-hmm. Like being persistent, and what I persistently come back to check in on with myself is, who am I and how am I being right now? And what is it that I need right now so that I can be who I want to be right now? Mm-hmm. So that's my long answer to that question.
I love that. And that really does bring together my other questions, which was, what is one challenge? You covered that. And also kind of, what was the divine curriculum or the spiritual theme, kind of what you wish you knew then that you know now? So you intuitively just pulled all of those together. So that's beautiful. And I've never heard that story. I actually live in Pennsylvania, and I've been to that Hershey factory, you know, with all the yummy chocolate, but I never have ever heard that story about Hershey. And, you know, you hear so many stories about these mega successful people, and oftentimes you don't hear the challenges and the issues and the things that they went through. That's not right up in the beginning, you know, that people really talk about that. So that's really powerful. And I love this idea, that question, so powerful. It's not a matter of if. It's how. And you didn't even say it's not a matter of when. You said it's how. So that opens up this whole energy about all the possible different solutions that can align, right? So I love that question. And that really, I want people to let that really soak in. So Jennifer, let me just kind of kick it off with, you know, we were talking about, when we were talking about your podcasts and we were talking about you talking about how wealth begins within and your emphasis that wealth starts from the inside out. So can you elaborate on that? I mean, what does wealth mean to you, or how do you define it? So maybe let's just start there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to come back to that beingness bit because I'm on this journey, in this process, in this seat of my calling now, where I'm really redefining what wealth even is, right? Historically, we have, and if you go to Webster's dictionary, or if you go to, you know, really any of the dictionaries you look up online, it all comes back to some kind of like possessing something, right? And this asset outside of ourself. And except for ChatGPT, which I got a real tickle about. ChatGPT did say it was about possession, but it was like, but and also, you know, it's like some people are starting to look at it in these other ways. And I was like, cute.
Well, even chat's getting
on board. Right. I know. It's like, all right. So historically, we have defined wealth as this, this asset, this thing that we can possess, this thing that is outside of us. And I believe that wealth actually is a state of being. And I think it's multiple states of being, because as we are, and we are spiritual seekers here, I believe, with, you know, your community, right? We're seeking deeper meaning. We're seeking lasting fulfillment that leads us into the important territory of our state of being. And with lots of literature review, with comprehensive study, with the client practice I've been in for, actually, I need to update my bio. It's been almost 30 years now. I offer that we are better served in a decision to place our attention on the pursuit and the practice of living wealthy, which I believe consists of four fundamental states of being. And that first is our worthiness. So you can picture yourself in a state of like perfect harmony with the world around you, within yourself, but also with the world around you. You have everything you need right here within yourself, the right balance, alignment, self-understanding. It's a state where you're no longer really looking outside yourself for validation or a sense of completion, because you feel entirely whole and complete just as you are. You're so gorgeous. And then there's life satisfaction. And I believe these are places that go beyond happiness. These are the places beyond happiness. Happiness is a temporary fluctuating emotion that comes and goes. So we are constantly chasing happiness. It's keeping this carrot, dangling in front of us. That's a whole other conversation. I won't go down that road in this moment.
I'm going to have you come back on and talk about that.
Sure. But I come back to life satisfaction is about how you like about the contentment you feel. It's like really deeply personal, and it hinges on what you value, what your values are, what your standards are, what your goals are, and the ones that you've set for yourself. But, and also doing that from a place of wholeness within yourself and not chasing that money, not chasing that wealth. Money's not going to give you anything. You're going to chase money. It's not going to give you anything. What actually brings you money? Mm-hmm. Relationships.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so it's the life satisfaction is a reflection of how well your life is in sync with what's really, truly important to you. And then the next category, the state of being, I call it the holistic wealth. And you can imagine this as like being like, I call it six different key wealth zones that make up our holistic wealth. And so imagine that each of these six key zones, these key wealth zones, are in proportionate balance. Like they're proportionally in distribution of all the resources across those six aspects of your life: energetic, emotional, mental, interpersonal, financial, and somatic wealth. And then in this holistic wealth idea, the state of being with it, it's none of these zones overpower the others. Instead, they contribute to what is needed as it is needed. It's like having a really well-rounded portfolio of life assets that are each contributing to your overall life satisfaction. Just breathe into that one for a moment. And then the fourth state of being, well-being, like really encompassing your total ability, your capacity, your quality of thriving. It's about resilience, empowerment, and leading yourself effectively while staying connected with others and all that is around us, including nature. And so in this sense, I'm really definitely redefining what wealth is. And I'm shifting it from how we possess in material terms to a combined sum of both extrinsic and intrinsic value representing our well-being and fulfillment. That was another long answer, but there you have it.
Yeah, I love it. And I know you're going to offer a free gift that's going to help us dive into all of this. So I just want people to just really soak this in, because there's going to be a way for people to really take some action on this. So let's talk about, you know, you mentioned a midlife chrysalis as a turning point for understanding wealth. So can you tell us more about that? Because that's really fascinating.
Well, you were on this topic of it's time to honor that being wealthy starts from the inside out. It's time for us to recognize that there are many forms of wealth. It's time for us to show up in the world understanding our value and our worth, because when we exchange with ourself from that place, we walk through the world empowered. We're no longer angry, ashamed, or afraid, which are three primary emotions associated with money. That's what the science is showing us. And so this is where I believe all war ends. The original war, Sharon, it's a war within. Mm-hmm. And so when we remember that the battle within, like when we really remember, who we are, when we really remember our value, when we really sit in that seat, the battle within us, it ends. And that's where real wealth begins. And so, yeah, I came to this full clarity and understanding through a midlife chrysalis, not a crisis.
I love
a chrysalis. A chrysalis.
I love that.
And so that happened for me. It started about 5 years back, but the heat of it being in the chrysalis itself was this moment during COVID, actually, where I was riding on a horse and I got bucked off.
Oh, wow.
And the impact of that crushed my L2, 3, and 4. And I had caught equina syndrome, which means horse's tail, ironically. And so I was rushed in. I went in for an emergency 8.5 hour spinal surgery. I was told that I had a 10% chance of ever walking again without surgery. And that if I did ever walk again, that it would take me 1 to 2 years to get full leg use. Whoa. So I'd already been on this journey, and the butterfly, well, showed up, the caterpillar showed up. And so this became the time for me to go in to like goo it up, mm-hmm. release all the things, because I found myself sitting in a rehab hospital 6 days after this happened. They transferred me from the hospital to the rehab hospital, and I'm sitting in the wheelchair. I can't lift my arms above my head. I can't put them out in front of me. I can't walk. And I'm facing the reality of maybe never being able to really walk again. And so I'm sitting in that chair, and I am dissolving down. I am releasing the digestive enzymes in my caterpillary state to all of the old systems, ways of being, ways of thinking, and everything that everybody else was telling me was the reality. Mm. And then I said to myself, I am at a crossroads of choice right now. I can either sit here and be like, poor me, this totally sucks. I wish this never happened.
Right.
Or I can say, you know what? It doesn't matter what the doctors are telling me. It doesn't matter what's happening right now. I am making a decision, and I believe living wealthy starts with making a decision. I am making a decision right now that I'm going to walk out of this hospital with a walker or better. I am going to be 100% off of narcotics, and I'm going to be at a pain threshold of 4 or less. Now you have to understand that I was on ketamine, OxyContin, like all the things. Mm. The amount of pain I was in was significant. They installed 2 titanium rods and 8 screws in my spine. Right. Mm. And so every morning I woke up and I used all of my tools. Right. And I kept choosing every day in every way, 100% of my attention went onto my intention. I have to tell you, 14 days after I was bucked off the horse, I walked out of that rehab hospital with the help of a walker, and I was off of narcotics, and my pain threshold was 3.5. Mm-hmm. Now there's way more to that journey, right? Wow. But that was really a time of like releasing those digestive enzymes as that caterpillar crawls inside and weaves its cocoon, right? And then it releases all of itself, and it's like, oh, you know, form, it's gooey and it's soupy and it's like starting to reform. And that really was that for me, because over the coming years, I put down going public facing. You know, on the wealth dynamics test, I'm a star, you know, in the human design, I'm a manifester, you know, so I'm like meant to be talking, I'm meant to be sharing, but mm-hmm. This was a time for me to become a hermit, mm-hmm. to be inside the cave, yeah. to let myself reform so that the truest, most beautiful aspect of my soul could be fully healed and expressed. And so I'll pause there.
Oh, I've got goosebumps. That's such a powerful story. And I know there's so much all involved in that. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I mean, we definitely want to have you back and dig into this more, but I just want people to really, you know, that so often, you know, we're presented. I love how you talk about it was a midlife chrysalis, but I mean, it can happen at different points in our lives, right? Where we have the, you know, maybe it's been called the dark night of the soul, or I mean, how many heroine's journey, you know, all about that, where we have, you know, and I think oftentimes people think that maybe we have one dark night of the soul, you know, but in our lives, there can be different things. And I love how you've reframe this into a chrysalis, you know, where you really, it might be a situation that you're facing. Maybe it's a shift in your perspective, you know, maybe things that were working before just don't feel like they are anymore, or, you know, just there's something more for you to grow into. You're wanting to grow into that butterfly. But I love how you talk about it. I mean, you've got to be down in the, you know, in the, in the, in the, in that, in that stage where you're really letting those digestive enzymes, as you call it, you know, really kind of take you down to your core, you know,
and it's powerful. A state and a time of like deep listening, deep looking, deep examination, and a lot of releasing and a lot of nourishing. Like that's what it has been for me. Mm-hmm. And not that it has to look exactly like that for everybody, but that is definitely what it has looked like for me.
Well, tell us a little bit about how the brain and central nervous system, this is another point that you make that I think is really just brilliant and just, you know, so perfect for our times too, you know, because we're forever, it's always been about out there. Wealth is always somehow connected to out there, right? I mean, what's the stock market doing? What's the interest rates doing? What's, you know, what's our portfolio doing? What's our portfolio doing? Whatever, you know, there's always that fear. There's that sense for so many people that it's outside of ourselves. So I just absolutely just align and love your message that it really is bringing this back into this place where wealth begins within. So how does the brain and central nervous system contribute to this kind of transformation? I mean, how do they play a role in realizing and sustaining personal wealth?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's turn to science for just a minute, because the research in neuroscience is showing us that neuroplasticity, which is the brain's ability to form and like reorganize our synaptic connections, especially in response to learning or experience, that it really plays a significant role in shaping our financial behaviors and our decision-making processes. And so a lot of the studies are suggesting that by engaging in really consistent, really focused, for example, financial education and mindfulness practice hand in hand can really enhance our cognitive flexibility, enabling us to better adapt to changing financial landscapes. I mean, there's been a lot that's been going on economically, you know, a lot of instability and we're a lot of question marks, and yet that can create some insecurity. And yet if we're using things like mindfulness practices and financial education to combine together, then it really does help us to make more informed decisions. And so one of the things I have kind of, I won't get into the details of this, but I'll kind of give the highlight of this. There's a four-prong way in which I like to make decisions. And that starts with, is this the right time? And then next, you know, am I in the right place? Is this the right place? Like when I think about place, I mean like the state of being, right? Mm-hmm. And then is this the right idea? Is this the right strategy? And then what's the next right action? And if all four of those things are not in alignment, it's not a yes. And of course, I'm also in that process because from the state of being, it's a body check, right? It's a sensorial, physical body check. Am I in the right place? If I'm not, what's going on here? Is there some need I need to get met first before I come back to be able to say yes to this? Or am I needing to process something? Or, you know, do I not really have the right strategy here yet? Or is just this not the right time? This would not be the right time, for example. I might be in the right place in myself. I might have the funds. I might, have the right idea. I might have the best business strategy. And I even might have a full business plan and know exactly all the steps I need to do in order to launch a business in the restaurant industry. But COVID would not be the right time. Right. Mm-hmm. So that would be a no. Right. Right. So that's kind of like a over-exaggerated example of how you might look through that tool. It's simple. It's a simple tool. And so that's, for example, how I also like to make financial decisions about investing in things. And then as well, if we turn back to science again and look at our central nervous system's role in emotional regulation, it's really, really critical for our financial success, because the research is indicating that the ability to manage our emotions effectively can lead to better investment decisions, to wealth accumulation, to spending habits, right? And so what the science is also showing, Sharon, is that 90% of our financial decisions are made based on our emotions. So that tells us that we really need to understand what is happening for us emotionally and regulate them, build intelligence emotionally in order to support our financial decision making. And the prefrontal cortex is a part of the brain that is involved in the executive functions as decision making is happening. And this is also playing, this whole area is playing a key role in our emotional regulation. So these things are absolutely going together. A study was featured by the Journal of Consumer Research recently that found that individuals with higher emotional intelligence and regulation skills were more likely to have and make prudent financial choices over and avoid impulsive financial behaviors. So therefore, then achieving long-term financial goals and success. Mm. I'll just pause there. Important. Like, do I need to say more?
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh. Well, how does one master the art of living wealthy? I know that's a big question, and I know you've got mm-hmm. something that you can share with us that can get us started, and you've already laid a foundation here in so many ways, but what do you feel how people can really master that art of living wealthy?
Well, you know, the way that I do it and the way that we do it and promote it here at Live Well is through self-retreating. And so going in and doing a lot of the deep inner work, right? And so what we're doing here at Live Well Institute is giving people the opportunity to come in and get a snapshot of what's happening inside of their six key wealth zones through mm-hmm. what we call the Living Wealthy Wheel. And so that is taking you through this assessment to unpack, okay, wait a minute, what's happening for me in each of these key areas? And it gives you a score and it gives you a visual representation. So you can literally see it on screen, like where you're standing, because if you're not a fully rounded wheel, which really not very many of us are, especially when we get started on this journey, sure. Then we know that our finance, like our wealth wheel, is not rolling down the lane very well. So mm-hmm. it gives us the information that we need of like, where do we actually need to focus our attention? And so from that place, and this is what I'm excited, like most excited about, right? We've got a membership where, you know, you can then get customized self-retreat sent to you based on what it is that you specifically need to work on. And it's taking you through this living wealthy success path. So it's helping you go from a state of what I call emotional poverty, but for our case here, let's just say a state of being spent, right? This is the initial stage where you recognize a sense of depletion. It's about realizing and really acknowledging that you are ready for a new way of being with wealth in your life. This is like the time to reboot and recharge. And so the self-retreats are really supporting you in doing that. And then from that place, depending upon, you know, what specifically you are needing based on your overall and individual key wealth zone scores, your living wealthy score, then we're taking you through the next phase, which is clarity. And at that stage, you're really gaining a clear understanding of your current situation in that particular category of wealth and in relationship specifically to your life goals. So it's involving like really deep introspection and getting really honest about your desires and fears and things like free-flowing fear practice, for example, or, you know, how to really unpack those desires from a place of, you know, what's really true deep inside of you. So it's clearing the fog. It's helping you gain laser-focused insight into what you truly want, specifically around some of those financial hurdles that you need to leap over as well. And then that moves you down the path into identifying. So this is where you get to spot the culprits and like really pinpoint down the perspectives, the habits, the behaviors, the ways of being inside those six key categories of wealth that are tripping you up. It's like, It's like you get to become your own detective.
I was going to say, it's like this wealth, wealth detective, but within you.
Yeah, and that's really, right.
And being guided. And that's what I love, is that you're really taking people by the hand and showing them these are the areas. Now let's take a look at those. And not with any judgment, but with this sense of this commitment and this declaration, because that's what I heard you say. We have to have this declaration. We have to make this decision, just like when you were in that rehab and you made that decision, you know, this is what it's going to be, regardless of what they say, you know, this percent, that percent, it doesn't matter. That's not going to dictate my reality. And that's easier said than done. I mean, especially
it is
in situations like physical kinds of things like that, where you have medical professionals telling you, and there's so much power in that, it kind of can steamroll over you, saying, you know, well, this is what you should be expecting. Really, that's essentially what they're saying. And so I just really want to honor that in you, because that's one of the most challenging things to do when you're facing, especially a physical situation, you know, in my experience, when you're facing something that is physical and you rally that energy and that intention and that declaration and those resources within you to say, you know, this is what I declare. So I love that you gave such a great story of that in the real world and in a physical component, you know, that people can really relate to. Mm-hmm. And of course, I could talk to you all day long. That's why we'd love to have you come back and dig into this more. But what I know, you've brought something for people to get started with all of this. Matter of fact, and so can you tell us a little bit more about what you brought, this free gift for folks, and how they can get it? Also be on the episode page, everybody. But for those listening that want to grab this right now, Jennifer, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So this Living Wealthy Wheel that I was just mentioning, right? This is an opportunity to really dig into like what's going on for you in your relationship with wealth in those six key categories. This is free. This is a freebie. This is something I want everyone to be able to access to get a snapshot for themselves of what's happening. Mm-hmm. And so it's livewell.com, livewell.com/wheel, WHEEL. And so you can go there, you get a snapshot. And then if you choose to submit your email, you don't have to in order to be able to see it. But if you choose to submit your email, then we will send you some information to support you to be able to take some next steps based on that information that you are receiving from that. And so we've put this together based on neuroscience, economics, psychology, my almost 30 years of practice and working with folks and supporting them in these ways. And so it's a powerful seeing tool to really see yourself. And I really deeply encourage you. In fact, it was funny because our team last year, some of the extension of our larger team started using it, and it's become a core thing that we're doing internally in the culture inside of LiveWell, because our own team has found such value in doing this and then doing this together.
So it's
a really great tool in that way as well.
That's a really great idea for people within their cultures and their teams and their organizations, you know, to really participate in this as well. So I love that as an extension, because that really does then align that culture with those intentions and align the culture with those declarations for each person. And so that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I'm just so grateful for you to be here. And I would just love you to share anything you want to share in closing with folks before we close.
You know, I think one of my greatest desires is to help people stop sleepwalking through life, to end the never enough syndrome, and to exit the shame fest. And I think that we can do that in a way by taking the greatest adventure of our life and going inside ourselves into the greatest, because we are our greatest adventure, and find that wealth really does begin within. And in that, that we can find how to turn our pain into something beautiful.
That is so beautiful, Jennifer. And thank you so much for being here. We're so grateful for your light. We're so grateful for your service. We're so grateful for your journey and all of the things that you have moved into and transformed into to then support other people, you know, going and walking that journey and walking that path. So thank you so much. We're so grateful for you and so grateful for this resource as well. So I really want to encourage people to go and get that at livewell.com/wheel. It's LIVWEAL.com/wheel. You know, if you really resonated with what we've talked about here today, take some action. Because you can listen to podcasts and say, oh, that was really great. But, you know, the most important thing that you can do is take an action. When you put energy out into the universe like that, then you're making a demonstration that you're ready. That's that intention Jennifer was talking about, that action. You've got to take an action. So here's a great action. Get this snapshot of these six areas so that you can move forward and really master the art of living wealthy, because there, it doesn't matter how you started out. It doesn't matter your contacts. It doesn't matter any of those things. And I know people say, well, you know, yeah, that's easy to say when you have those resources, but I truly, this is really the secret, is to really be able to activate the wealth within you. So thank you so much, Jennifer, for being here. We're so grateful for you.
Many, many blessings.
And we'll see you back here next time, everybody. We see you living lives of love, joy, peace, health, wealth, and always, always. See you back here next time, everybody.
Do you hate selling, yet love to be of service? In my free masterclass, you will discover 3 soulful secrets to client conversations that feel joyful, easy, and fun. Using these secrets, one of my clients made $8,000 in 1 week. And another client made $100,000 in less than 6 months. Register now at www.coachingfromspirit.com/masterclass.